2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Let's begin reading with the first verse. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We will begin reading with verse number 1. Now therefore, my son, be being strengthened, be strong, be continually being strengthened in the grace, in the favor that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful or trustworthy men who shall be able, who have the capacity or the ability to teach or instruct others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth is engaged in warfare, entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That's the one who's recruited him and put him in service. And if a man also strive for masteries, that is, if he's in athletics, if he competes in the games, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully, which means according to the rules. The husbandman that laboreth, the farmer who works hard, must be the first partaker of the fruits of his labor. Consider what I say, the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, literally as a criminal, even unto bonds, that's imprisonment. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eventuating in eternal glory. It is a faithful, a trustworthy saying, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things, remind them, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting or the ruin, literally the catastrophe of the hearers. Study, be diligent, give great diligence to show yourself, to demonstrate yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, handling rightly, cutting a straight line, the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker or a cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Now, we were on verse number 15, and I have some additional verses that I would like us to study in relationship to that verse before we move on. Now, it occurred to me one day that some of us preachers do not know the difference between the foolishness of preaching and the preaching of foolishness. I have heard things said in the Lord's name that I know could not have come from God, because God is not that stupid. He's not that foolish. He's talking here about ill-gotten debates about things that don't matter one bit in the end, that consume emotional time and energy and tear up churches. And it happens all the time. Now, I want you to look one more time, if you will, at verse number 15. Very, very important part. Study, which in the Old English means to show diligence. Study or show diligence. To present, show, set yourself before God, approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who literally cuts a straight line with the truth. He handles the truth accurately. He does not swerve. He doesn't go up and down or around. He cuts his line straight. But you'll notice, rightly dividing what? The word of truth. The word of truth. Now, it's strange as it may seem, there are people in our day who have been educated so much beyond their own intelligence that they say there is no such thing as truth. Now, think about that statement. There is no such thing as truth. Well, what they're saying is the truth is that there is no such thing as truth. They are substituting one truth for another in the name of no truth. You've got to watch these people today. I mean, they really get messed up. This blogging and internet stuff. Woo! They do a number on your head. Get you all mixed up. Nobody can know what the truth is. Well, that statement isn't true because you can't know that it's true. Why do you make a statement that can't be true if nobody can know what the truth is? How can you make that statement? How can you make that statement? Now, let me go down to basics with you again. I hadn't intended to do this, but I think it might be helpful. Especially if you're a thinker, and I hope you're a thinker, because if you're not in this day and age, you're in trouble. Well, there's more intellectual baloney out there. You know the Hebrew word, bahaloni. There's more of that out there. But everybody is prejudiced. Somebody said, oh, you religious people, you're all prejudiced. You have these basic presuppositions as if they didn't. Now listen, everybody who is alive and in any state of rightness of mind assumes the reality of his own existence. How many of you are there? Pinch, tell me. Are you a real person? Now, you can't prove that. You may be a figment of somebody else's imagination. There is no way with finality you can prove the reality of your own existence. You can't do that. It's not possible. You assume that. You presuppose that. In all of your thinking, I am a real person. Prove it to me. I don't see you. Where are you? Secondly, everybody out there that I know of, and especially in the academic and political world, presupposes they assume the rationality of their own mind, that they have the ability to think. Now, you try to prove that. We might all be a bunch of loonies and crazies with we're nothing connectional. The stairway doesn't meet the second floor. The elevator doesn't go up to the top of the building. You know, the upstairs room is for rent, unfurnished. So, out here, this smart intellectual world that thinks that we are prejudiced people, they all assume that they're able to think rationally and logically. And I surely do doubt that on the part of many. I think I can say this safely. I don't tattle on people, but we had in our congregation this morning a man that's out here in a conference who specializes in rural areas in promoting science and mathematics. Mathematics is a great mind developer. Most people hate it. How many of you love math? 1 out of 20 or 30? Mathematics teaches you to think logically and systematically and analytically. Logic is a great brain developer. It develops thought processes. It's like it does to your brain what gymnastics does to your body. Coordinates it, trains it, strengthens it. Mathematics is a great mind developer. We don't like it. I don't use the math I learned, but it surely did help me to develop my capacity to think. And that's very, very important. Well, that's the second thing they presuppose, is the rationality, the capacity to think in their own minds. You prove that to me, please. You assume that you're prejudiced. You are prejudiced. You believe something you cannot prove. Oh, yeah, you do. And then people assume something else. They assume a relationship with the world around them by a sensual relationship, that is to see, to hear, to feel. They assume a senses relationship with the world around them that enables them to see and to derive things that are really true and factual. This pulpit is not here. Ouch! I had a sense of something going on. It is here, say. Now, I don't know if I should do this. Is this too small for you to see? Can you see this? Can you? Can you see it back there? Can you? Yes or no? Okay, what color is this? Okay, you can't see it. Okay, let me do it this way. I know you'll see the color on this one. Let's see. Oh, my. Without being accurate on what shade this is, what general color is this?
Red.
It's kind of a maroon, but maroon is a red. Okay, it's red, but it's not red. It's every color in the light spectrum except red, and it reflects the red light to your eyes. You think it's red, but it's every color in the light spectrum except red. Now, we all assume that we have the ability to look at something. Now, you can tell the shape of it. It's kind of like a rectangle. Everything is kind of rectangular on this thing. So, it's a three-dimensional rectangular object whose color is everything but red, but looks red because it fools our senses. All right, now, we all assume that we can look, we can see, we can go into a scientific laboratory, but there isn't anybody can prove that capacity. Now, Paul talks about the word of truth. To us, when we look at this expression, word of truth, number one, there is truth. Truth has to do with reality, what is really there. May I ask you a question tonight? And this isn't in my notes either, but I hope will be helpful. Let me ask you a question tonight. Who created all reality? God did. All reality exists by virtue of God's Word. Two expressions of Word in the New Testament. One is the utterance of God. God said, that's the utterance of God. That's the rhema of God. But then you have the logos of God. That's the message. That's God's explanation. Now, if it was His Word, His utterance that created things, it seems to me we can rely on and depend on His explanation. Yes or no? So the Bible, in written form, inspired of the Holy Spirit, we'll come to that later, inspired, God breathed, inspired of God, gives God's explanation, and as God explains what He created, we have the real world, and we have truth. Absolute truth. God's Word creates, and God's Word there then explains what God's Word created. Now, you're the first ones ever to get that one out of me. But that's true, is it not? It's true. Now, the Word of truth. Study. Be diligent. When you take God's explanation of things and you take an inspired word explanation from God of truth, it means that you need to be diligent, that you don't corrupt it, you don't change it. You don't ignore part of it and become selective in what you're going to believe, what you're going to teach, what you're going to apply to your life. Be diligent. To show yourself one that passes the test, dakamazo, one who passes the test as approved unto God, a workman with no need to be ashamed of your relationship with that truth, because you cut the line straight, you rightly divide the word of truth. Now follow me, please, through the Scriptures. Have you got your Bibles with you? John 8, verse 32. John 8, verse 32. In the Word of God, there are... I think in the word know, K-N-O-W, as there is knowledge, I think probably there are two main words that in the Greek language that are translated by the one English word, K-N-O-W. One means to know by experience. Know by experience. When my children were small and they were about to reach up on the table and pull something off and mom said no and they still persisted in doing it, the wife would then go to stop them and I said, no, you let them do that. They will learn by experience when this dumps on them that there was a reason why you said no. Now, she was a mother and that was kind of hard for her on certain occasions. But they learned by experience. They knew by personal experience. That's one of the Greek words for know. The other one is to know with the perception. That is to understand. To have it figured out. It's more than experience. It's a mental comprehension of truth. Both of these words, know, K-N-O-W, come out of the Greek language. So now, we have one of these words in John 8:32. John 8:32. Here he says, you shall know the truth. Now, this is not to know intellectually or to know in the understanding. It's to know by experience. You shall know the truth. Now, the truth shall have, it says here, has a profound impact on your life. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall bring you into bondage to Baptist regulations and traditions. That's not there? That's not there. Let's try it. Let's see. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall enslave you to religion. No. You shall know the truth. The truth shall do what? Set you free. Shall bring you into freedom. There's a great joy in standing before God where there's no kind of a code or regulation or religious organization standing over the top of you to condemn you. Isn't that wonderful? You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Know by experience. Well, this is a wonderful experience. To be free of guilt. To be free of having to live according to a certain code or else fear that God is going to do something bad to you. John 14, please. John 14, verse number 17. John 14, verse number 17. In chapter 14 and chapter 15 and chapter 16, you have three great chapters on the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. And among other things, he has a very, very important title. Notice in John 14, verse number 17. John 14, verse number 17. Even the Spirit of, literally, the truth. In the Greek language, the article is there. Even the Spirit of the truth, whom the world cannot receive. He dwelleth with you, shall be in you. And he's looking forward to Pentecost when the Spirit of God comes literally to dwell in his people. But here, the Holy Spirit of God is designated. He is titled the Spirit of the truth. Now, look this way for just a moment. If the Holy Spirit of God is the Spirit of the truth, does it make any difference what people believe in their relationship to the Holy Spirit? If I believe the wrong thing, what relationship is that to the Holy Spirit? He's the Spirit of the truth. And I don't accept the truth, and I accept something else, and I build my life on something else. What relationship do I have with the Holy Spirit? At least I have nothing in common with Him on those matters. People are telling us today it doesn't matter what you believe, it doesn't matter what you practice, as long as you just have a common kind of a Christian thing going on in your life. And that's not true. We are to rightly divide. Cut the line straight. The word of truth. One of the reasons is because He is the Spirit of the truth. You cannot honor the Spirit of God without having a reverence for the truth. And when you read the Word of God, when you stand before the truth, when you study the truth, you literally need to take your shoes off because you are standing on holy ground. It is very important what a church believes and what a church teaches, and especially in those matters that are clearly revealed. And we talked about that last Sunday night. He is the Spirit of the truth. Notice in chapter 15 and verse 26, Jesus again reiterates the same title. The same title. When the Comforter, the one alongside, the Helper is come. Did I give you the verse? 26. 15, 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father. Now the Comforter here is the Holy Spirit. Notice his title again. Even the Spirit of truth. And again, in the Greek text, there's an article in front of truth. Even the Spirit of the truth. Well, what is the truth? It's what God has revealed in His Word. Even the Spirit of the truth. John 16, please, and verse number 13. John 16 and verse number 13. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of, literally the truth, the article again is in the Greek text. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of the truth, is come, He will guide you into anything you want to think and believe and anything that pleases you. He will guide you into what? into all, literally, the truth. Again, the article is in the Greek text. He will guide you into all the truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. So truth becomes very, very important. Paul said, rightly dividing, cutting straight the word of truth. And this is interesting in John 18. John 18, verse number 37. Totally different kind of context. John 18, verse number 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest, I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. Notice that I should bear witness unto the truth. Does it matter what you believe? Does it matter what you preach? Does it matter what you honor? Does it matter the place that God's Word has in your life? He said, for this reason I came to bear witness, to testify concerning the truth. So truth evidently becomes very important. I believe it's 1 Corinthians 4:2. Tell me if I'm wrong here. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Let me look that up very quickly because my notes have the one or the two out of there. But I think 4 is right. It isn't. It's 2 Corinthians 4:2. 2 Corinthians 4:2. Here Paul has another reference to the truth. 2 Corinthians 4:2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of what? The truth. The truth. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. What do we do in court? We used to put our hand on the Bible and swear before the Lord to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. See? The truth. The whole truth. Nothing but the truth. What is the responsibility of the church? What is the responsibility of the individual believer? What is the responsibility of the Sunday school teacher and the Bible study leader and the pastor and so on? What is the responsibility? Manifestation, an open exposure to the truth. An open exposure, a manifestation of the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2. This should be quite a warning to all of us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I don't know if you recognize this chapter, but this is one of the main passages in the Word of God which defines for us the work of the one who is known as the Antichrist in the book of Revelation. And here in 2 Thessalonians 2, we look at verse number 10. And by the way, look this way for just a moment. In this text, and we haven't time to go there tonight, but the Old Testament tells us how do we can know the difference between a true and a false prophet. And there are several places in the New Testament. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he was a man whom God approved by his signs and his powers and his wonders. Those are the three Greek words for miracles, signs and powers and wonders. They're all translated miracle in some passages. Signs, powers, and wonders. And Paul said, I've demonstrated the genuine nature of my apostleship to you because I have done signs and powers and wonders. And what we are going to find, and I believe it's in this same chapter, we won't look at it right now, but the Antichrist is going to come doing signs and powers and lying wonders, which tells us that the supernatural or the manifestation of something supernatural does not prove the source. You have to discern the source of this thing. Signs and powers and lying wonders. And that's why in verse number 10, you have that word deceivableness. It's the word deception. How does the deceit come? The deceit comes powerfully. There are signs and powers and lying wonders that will take place. So Paul talks about the Antichrist, all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they received not the love of the truth. Now, do you love the truth? Is the truth your friend? Do you embrace truth in every aspect of your life? Having your loins girt about, put on the full armor, the panoply, every layer of the armor of God. Having your loins girt about with spinning and excuses and explanations. I have a television at home. It's worn the bearings out already. There's so much spinning goes on that thing. It's just about worn it out. You know what spin is? It means you put things in a different light so you can convince something that somebody that something that isn't right is right, and something's wrong is okay, and something that's right is not so right, and it's just to confuse the whole issue. It's just a cloud of confusion. They received not the love of the truth. Have your loins girt about with the truth. It is your greatest defense as a believer, one of your greatest defenses. They received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. 1 Timothy 3. What I'm trying to do now is impress on your heart and mind that according to the Word of God, the truth is eminently important in a believer's life and in the life of the church. It is important what you believe. It must have a relationship to God's Word, God's explanation of what God put in place by His own utterance. 1 Timothy 3:15. If I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of all kinds of religious opinions. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. The word pillar means, ground means support. It's the pillar and the support of the truth. Go back to Romans 1 for just a moment. Romans 1. This sadly is happening before our very eyes in this country. And it's happening in churches as well as in the secular world. Romans 1. Verse number 25. This explains what goes on with the ungodly. There's a wonderful three-point outline. Let me give it to you before we look at this verse. I think it comes from a preacher who is now 99 years old and preaching in all the services of his church. His name is Dr. Timothy Lynn. He was a professor back at seminary when I was there. Never had him in a class. Godly man from China. Grew up on mainland China. And a great Bible scholar, but a man who really got a hold of the Word of God. And what we have is a three-point outline of Romans chapter 1 that Dr. Timothy Lynn gave while he was professor there, and I'm sure he still stands by it. And it's three two-word statements. Number one is light, which means truth, light revealed, truth revealed. That which may be known of God, God has revealed within them. They have no excuse for not knowing the truth. Light revealed. That's the first part of the outline for this passage of Scripture. Secondly, light rejected, light revealed, light rejected. And then third is so tragic. Wherefore God gave them up to a reprobate mind to do those things which were not convenient. Light removed. So you see, what a man does with the truth is of great consequence. Light revealed. Light rejected. Light removed. And we have that in this passage. And in the midst of this passage, this is what they do. This is how they handle the truth. This is the process of rejecting the truth. Okay? Verse number 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature or the created more than the one who did the creating, who is blessed forever. Amen. But notice that word changed. Actually, it has the Greek preposition meta. And what it means is not so much that they changed, but they traded. They exchanged. They made an exchange. It was a deliberate, knowledgeable thing that they did. Light was revealed. Light was then knowingly and willfully rejected. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Now, you wonder why the environmental movement and the green movement has such power in our land today. It is because we worship what is created more than the one who created it all. Earth Day, why don't we have God Day? They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And they worshiped and served that which is created. That's what the creature means, created thing. The created thing. More than the one who created it. More than the creator. That's what's going on. Exactly what is going on. You take truth. And the question is, what do you do with truth? How do you respond to truth? Some people exchange it. Some people reject it. Light received. Light rejected. And light removed. Be diligent to show yourself. Personally, every believer, be diligent to show yourself approved unto God. Know the truth. Understand the truth. Believe the truth. Apply the truth. It is the truth that sets us free. It is the truth that saves us. Jesus said, I am the way. Hadas. I am the truth. Aletheia. I am the life. We can't get along without truth. We are responsible to know the truth. Remember again that it is the rhema of God, the statement of God that set everything in motion, that made everything as it is. It doesn't matter whether it's the trees and the flowers, the birds, the bees, the whales, the mountains, the seas. It matters not what it is. It is the rhema of God that put all of this in place. All reality exists only because of the Word of God, the Rhema of God, and the Logos of God, the Word of God that we are to study and we are to know. And we are to understand is God's explanation of everything He made. And you can't live without the truth, and you can't have the truth without God and His Word. Those who live without a knowledge of God's Word, now I'm saying this respectfully, but they live in ignorance. No man is educated until he knows God's explanation of what God made. Whew. But that is true. That is true. You don't know who you are. You might not be. Did you ever hear that thing? This politically correct thing? You can't have a woman because it's got man in it and that's masculine. And you can't have a person because that's got son in it and that's masculine. So they figured that out, that they call everybody a purhu. Pur from person and who from human. So you're a purhu. But see, the feminine gender then is a whooperhu. Purhus and whooperhus. You have no idea who you are, what your role in life is. You have no idea where you're going. You have no idea the outcome of anything unless you know how God interprets what He made. And it is the believer's responsibility to know, understand, and be faithful to the truth. We are not here to discuss Professor So-and-so's opinion of how the world got here. If you've ever seen that video expelled, at the end of that thing, one of the foremost world's atheists is pinned to the wall. Where did the first life come from? Where did that come from? And this man, PhD, man of stature in the scientific world, again, one of the world's leading atheists, says it might have been some extraterrestrial creature that made the first life. Well, now, if that's so, why not God? Why not God? The truth. I think I've dwelt long enough on this. Have you gotten the message? Be diligent to show yourself approved unto God. We are responsible to know who we are, why we are here, what we are doing, where all of this is going, how we fit into the picture of God's history. And every life here tonight is historic in its significance, without exception. And the wonderful Word of God is the key that unlocks the door. Be diligent to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that does not need to be ashamed. Dividing aright, cutting the line straight, being straight with the truth. Rightly dividing the Word of truth. Rightly dividing the Word of truth. So may the Lord bless us and encourage us in this. I've gone long tonight.